Well, oh, by the way, about to forget our dinner, didn't we? I had just pain there reminded me. No. We're going to have lunch after. We want everybody to stay. Don't run off here, especially if you got something in the back of your car we could eat. But we're going to have lunch here, and this is for the birthdays for September and October and everything. So, and you say, well, anybody, I guarantee there's enough to feed everybody. We want you to stay, fellowship, and I'm not going to hold you too long. So, I mean, you got a free meal down there, and just come around fellowship. So don't forget that. Don't run off without eating. And I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians, and I'm just going to read a few verses here. In chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, notice he uses they, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we awake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Now, there wouldn't be much comfort to me if I knew I had to go through the wrath of God. Would it you? And I want to talk to you about light and darkness, and I want to talk to you about the day and the night. And in this passage, you'll go back with me to verse 4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor darkness. Now what's he talking about there being of darkness? Well, turn back with me. Hang on to Thessalonians. We're going to be coming back. But look back in the book of Joel. And notice in chapter 2 of the book of Joel. And notice in verse 2. Joel chapter 2, verse 2. Well, I tell you what, let's just read verse 1. Joel chapter 2, verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of what? Darkness. A day and of gloominess. A day of clouds and of thick darkness. as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there have not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. He goes on, he describes the these people. Notice something about them. Verse 4, the appearance of them is as appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. Verse 7, they shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. Now folks, that's not human. You understand that, don't you? You don't fall on a sword and not get wounded. Amen? It's something else. Come down to verse 9. They shall run to and fro in the city, and they shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. The stars shall withhold their shining. The Lord shall utter His voice before His army. And His camp is very great, for He is strong that executeth His word. For the day of the Lord is great, very terrible, and who can abide it? You folks, you don't want to be there in that day. It's a day of darkness. It's a day of gloominess. But ye are not of the night. But ye are not of the darkness. For that day shall not overtake you as a thief. Why? You don't have no part in it. I want to talk to you about, well, let's look on again. Turn over to Amos. Let me give you another page, just a few pages. Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5. In verse 18. Amos 5:18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. And you have them today, you know. We're looking for the Antichrist. We're storing up weapons to fight the Antichrist when the Bible says that He's going to make war with the saints and overcome them. if He's going to overcome you, you ain't no need to fight against Him. Look what He said. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. Verse 20. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light? Even very dark and no brightness in it. Verse 21. I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. It's a day of darkness. It's a day of chaos. Look over in Zephaniah. Just go to your right, and you'll come to it. Zephaniah 1:15. Well, I got to read 14. This great day of the Lord is near. Chapter 1, verse 14. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble, a day of distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. It's the Lord's wrath. Verse 18, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Now look with me to Revelation and turn over there, and we're going to go back to Thessalonians. Revelation, and notice in chapter 6, Revelation 6. Verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree cast her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And Habakkuk says, and I don't have time to check the references, but Habakkuk says that God in that day is going to shake the earth. He's going to shake it like you'd shake a fig tree. And it's going to tremble. And he's going to thump it. And it's just going to just start trembling. You're talking about earthquakes. You're talking about earthquakes in divers places. It's just one after another. God's shaking it. It's a day of darkness, sun, and gloominess. It's a day of wrath. Look what he says in there. Revelation, go on down with me to verse 16. And said, this talking about in verse 15, the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men, the G7s that's meeting up there in Washington today and yesterday. Isn't that fascinating? G7, seven heads, you know, of the world economy and all this, and meeting together up there. I thought about in Revelation, have that beast over has seven heads, you know, and ten horns and all that, and they meeting together to find out what they're going to do with the cause of the financials. Their silver and the gold ain't going to help them a bit, folks. We're headed to the wrath of Almighty God in this world, and your only hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you don't want to go through what I'm describing here in Revelation 6, verse 16. And these kings of the earth and everything said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, folks, in the nighttime, in the darkness, who will they that Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians 5? He said, when they shall say, peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh upon them as a woman with child. Folks, who are they? And he talks about they, the children of darkness. But he said, verse 7, for they that sleep in the night. Who's in the night time in the daylight? We're the children of the day. Wow, it's light today. Why is that? Well, let me just put it on the board up here. I go back here and I see in AD 33, Jesus Christ died. You have him coming on the scene with John, and his ministry is 3.5 years. And you have the account in Matthew through John and of his earthly ministry. And he goes to the cross. He's nailed to the cross between two thieves. He's identified. And then you have the book of Acts over here. In the book of Acts, it's the Acts of the Apostles. It's not the beginning of the body of Christ. The book of Acts does not tell you the beginning of the body of Christ. The book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. It's the showing of the 12 apostles, that little flock, and they go out to the nation Israel, and Israel in Acts chapter 7 answers that message of the kingdom. We'll not have this man to reign over us. They take Stephen out there, they stone Stephen, call him upon the name of the Lord, and they kill him out there, and folks, they blasphemed the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 7, and in Acts chapter 9, the Lord appears unto a man named Paul. And Paul is saved by the grace of God, and there's the body of Christ. And so he's the pattern of salvation in the dispensation of grace. And so he wrote 13 books. He wrote Romans through Philemon in your King James Bible. And there's where you find the walk, the destiny, and of the church, the body of Christ. And there's where the message. In here, this is daylight, brother. This over here is the day. The Bible said today is the day of salvation. I mean, you don't have the promise of another. The light that's shining today is through this body of believers here. And this body of believers is made up of flesh. And the Lord's in that flesh. And it's in His body, and that body's the church, and it's the pillar and ground of truth, and the only light that's in the world today is coming through that church that preaches the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they're not preaching the gospel of that Lord Jesus Christ, then they're in darkness. And we're going into apostasy as fast as you can see it. You know what the word apostasy means? It means falling. Falling down. Hang on with me, turn over to Timothy. Just turn the page down there in Thessalonians and look in Timothy. Notice what he said in chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Folks, there are devils out here, and them devils are in bodies, and those bodies are preaching a false Jesus, a false gospel, and offering a false spirit, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And they're preaching and deceiving people. Look in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, notice in... where I want to go. In chapter 4, notice what he said in verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And notice what he says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And that's what people want today in assemblies today. They want storytellers. They want fables. They want to know how to be a better you. And these preachers are writing them, telling them, and books about them, and bringing them in by the thousands and teaching them a bunch of psychological garbage that has nothing to do with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're blinding the people. And he said in chapter 2, look with me there, and back in Timothy again, how that people, chapter 3, he said in verse 5, these people would have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Verse 7, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, and the knowledge of the truth is the godliness. Now you want to see this thing? Look back with me and hang on there. Turn back to chapter 3 of Timothy and look in verse 16. He said, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Now these people never come to the knowledge of the truth, and they have a form of godliness. Well, what's godliness? He said, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." That was the Lord Jesus Christ. "And was justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory." And I know that's a reference to the deity of the Lord on this earth, but it's also a reference to the body of Christ. You see, where is God manifested today? He's manifested in this body. Where is truth at today? Look what he said. He said it's God manifest. Look back in verse 15 of 1 Timothy 3:15. "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." Well, he's not talking about some building out here made of brick, mortar, and stone. "The house of God, that thou mayest know how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth, and without controversy." In other words, this church is the mystery of godliness. God is in this body today, and that's the Lord that's in this body, and the Lord's manifested Himself through this church. But the church today is so carnal and so much in apostasy, they don't even wear the garments of the Lord. You know what the garments of the Lord are? One of them's the helmet of salvation. The breastplate of righteousness. It's not your righteousness. You don't have no righteousness. You couldn't make a breastplate out of your righteousness. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's the Lord. That's His righteousness. It's His gospel. It's His salvation. And this body represents Him. And folks, right there is daytime. Daytime. Then you have over here, there's a time when this body is going to be full. And it's going out. The Lord's coming down into the heavens and we're going to be called out. Then there's a man coming on the scene over here. You have on one side of him 3.5 years, 3.5 years. This is what is called the tribulation. Jacob shall be saved out of it. It's the wrath of Almighty God. Them last 42 months is going to be the unsheathed wrath of God. And then at the end of that thing, Jesus Christ is coming back the second time. He's coming with His saints. And He's going to meet the Antichrist. He's coming down in there. And He's going to meet Him, face Him, and defeat Him over there, and then He's going to walk right down through there and stand on the Mount of Olives. That thing's going to cleave right in the middle, and He's going in there in Jerusalem. And you know what the Bible says? He said He's going to rule with a rod of iron. And He's going to establish His kingdom over here, and it's going to be for 1,000 years. Devil's going to be chained in the bottomless pit. Old Satan down here, chained, no demons. All the devils down here, clean everything out, and going to rule with a rod of iron over here. David's going to sit on the throne. You say, "Well, what's this?" Folks, right now, this time is day for us, but it's night time for Israel. Let me show you what I mean. Turn back to Malachi. Wow, folks, they're in darkness. They don't know, they don't believe. You say, can they believe? Sure they could believe. But if they believe, they get saved just like you got saved. In the dispensation of grace, there's one gospel here. Look in Malachi. Notice what he said in Malachi. In verse 2, chapter 4, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the... What's that next word? Huh? S-O-N? Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked. Folks, there ain't no doubt about that. They're going to see him. They're going to see the one that perished. He's going to rise. They don't see the Lord today. The Bible says he's like he's hid his face from them. They're in darkness today. And while they're in darkness, it's daytime for you. You're of the night. You're of the light. You're of the day. You're not of the night. So why is that important? You don't have this over here. It's nighttime. Darkness. They were blinded by care. Matter of fact, you'll see a type of, I don't have time to run through it, but then I believe it's Acts 13. There's a man comes up to Paul, and Paul blinds him. And he said, you'll not be able to see the sun for a season. He's a type of Israel. The sun went down by care. They fell and they became, lo am I, not my people. And this darkness has fell upon them. And it's darkness over here. And they won't see the sun till they see the sun rise at the second coming of Christ. Now look at it. Look back in Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Notice what he said. Well, they that sleep, verse 7, sleep in the night. And they are, they're asleep. They are not aware. And they that be drunk are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, this is the wrath over here. For God hath not appointed us wrath, but we obtain salvation. Let's look at that for a moment. I'm going to close. This just ain't quite 11:30 now. Say, well, you just doing that. Just shut up. No reason why you should even think about why I'm doing anything. Just listen. All right? Now look at this thing. The hope of salvation. Turn with me back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I'll tell you what, why you were there, turn a look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Romans chapter 8, and Romans chapter 5. Can y'all got that many fingers? Sure you have. Romans, look in 1 Thessalonians 1, and notice in verse 10. To wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Are you delivered? If you're delivered from something, you're going to go through it? No. But that ain't all. Look in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Are we going to be saved from it? Absolutely. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Hope of salvation. That salvation that Paul's talking about in Thessalonians is not your soul salvation. It's the salvation from this wrath that's coming over here. Notice what he says in Romans chapter 8. In verse 21. Well, it's just hard to... Let me go back to read verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. See, you hadn't been manifested yet. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. When Adam sinned, God cursed the ground. That's why when you walk through the way here and you get thorns and briars and everything else, that's, you can thank Adam for that. Instead of God cursing him, and he cursed the ground for thy sake, and the earth brought forth all thistles and briars and all of these things as part of the curse. Well, one day it's going to be lifted, and this earth, the creation, is longing for that. The earth is waiting for a day in the future when the sons of God are manifested and that curse is lifted off of it. Look what he said. For verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Right now you're saved spiritually. You're waiting to be saved physically. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Your body can't go to where God is, and it needs to be redeemed. So God one day is going to redeem your body, and He's going to do something to it. Look what He said. He's going to have the redemption of the body. Verse 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for it? For if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Hope, the definition of hope, is the anticipation and expectation in the heart of the believer for the redemption or the return of the Lord in the cloud. Now when we go up out here, He's not coming to this earth. He's coming to this earth over here, but we're going up to meet Him in the clouds, and so forever be with the Lord. This is our hope, folks. This is the hope of the gospel. Look in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, a reference to Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Folks, do you understand God's will is not to leave you here? God's will is to deliver you from this present evil world. When's He going to do it? He's going to do it over here. Now why is the church not going through that wrath? Because Jesus Christ has already bore the wrath over here on the cross. When He hung on that cross, God poured His wrath out for on Him for my sins. Don't you understand that? He done bore your wrath. He took your punishment. And there's no more God can do to you if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because He done it to His Son on that cross. Boy, that's good.
The wrath of God has already been borne. If you go through it, that's double jeopardy. He'd be judging you twice. He done judged you by care. He done bore the wrath. Look in Philippians, the redemption of the body. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Then He's going to change our vile body and fashion it like unto His glorious body, His resurrection body. He, the second Adam was a quickening spirit. He that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. We're going to have a spiritual body like His. Folks, His body walked through a solid rock tomb. He left this earth. He told them to go see His disciples. And before they could get there and back, He left this earth and went plumb out far above all heavens and back again in a matter of minutes. Now that's moving on, isn't it? Sure is. Going to change it. How's He going to do it? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's a mystery. Look what He says there. Verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, Adam. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven, the quickening spirit. Verse 49, and as we have borne the image of the earthly, Adam, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. And folks, this is a mystery here. And by the way, this body is a mystery. And it was hid in God. It's not in Scripture. And all the doctrine that's to that body is a mystery. The salvation in here, the eternal security of the believer in here, all of that was part of the mystery of that body. These people back here could lose their salvation. These people over here, Hebrews through Revelation, can lose their salvation. But bless your heart, if you're in Christ, you can never lose it. God sees you as He sees Jesus Christ. He said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, our body must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. And folks, this goes on and on. One other passage, and this is, I'm going to close with this one. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Folks, we're of the day. Don't you understand? Our hope is not in death. It's in the coming of the Lord. And we're going to be took out of this world and changed. And I believe it's close. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Notice what he says there. Talking about our house. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, the body, were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in where? Do you realize your body's already up there waiting on you? Now is it eternal in the heavens? When did it get put there? Huh? How long has it been there? Set in eternal in the heavens? Is it eternal? You know, I use Brother Winston because he's sitting right here. And I get Dan every once in a while. It trickles back. I believe Brother Winston's testimony, saved. I believe he has a body. Well, let's suppose he does something he shouldn't do. Tells a fib, goes fishing, catches a 6-ounce bass, and he tells everybody it's 15 ounces. All liars shall have their part. Ain't that what it says? Do you think the Lord goes around in that body and says, "Oh, Winston, oops, I made a mistake. I got him a body up here and he messed up." You see how foolish that is. It's eternal in the heavens. You have a body right there. And you know when that body was? In AD 33. Listen, God Almighty knew you back here before the foundation of the world. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. God knew when you'd be born. He knew when you're going to leave this world. He knows when you knew when you trusted Christ as your Savior. And based upon His foreknowledge, He put you a body up there. Now you think He made a mistake? He don't make mistakes. You trust Christ as your Savior. You have a body prepared for you, waiting for you in heaven right now. I believe that. And you know something? Look back in chapter 4. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man body perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions in this body of flesh, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, our outward body, but at the things which are not seen, our eternal body. For the things which are seen are temporal, our natural fleshly body. But the things which are not seen are eternal, our spiritual body. For we know that if our earthly house, it continues right on. Talking about that body, folks. My hope today is someday to get out of this world and have a body like His. That's the hope of salvation. That's the hope of the gospel. And Paul right now in every epistle he wrote, he says, grace, peace from God our Father. Over here in Revelation, it's war and wrath. God is offering you peace right now. God is offering you salvation. Today is the day of salvation. But once that day is called out, that church is called out, you're going to be in nighttime and gloominess and darkness and end up in hell. Don't do that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Would you stand? Now I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to go ahead and ask the blessing so that when the ladies get prepared, you can go ahead and eat. You don't have to